And we're holding on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph by the two dots, 8 lines from the top. We started discussing yesterday the question of Edim Zomimin, or even one individual aid that was found to be Zomim. We say that he's a Rosha, and therefore he's Posel Eidos. Is it that he's Posel Eidos from then on, which was Rava's position, or even retroactively to when he originally said the Eidos, which now we only discovered later on, that he was an Eid Zomim? That would be according to Abaye. We said there were two reasons behind behind Rava's Svara. So Abaye had said, because look, you know, it turns out that his Eidos was false. Therefore, obviously, his Posel was an Eidos. So we said, according to Rava, two possibilities. Either because the whole concept of Edim Zomim is a Chiddush, that we should believe the second set of Edim over the first, and therefore, Ein L'chobay L'chiddush, that there's a limit where we can only apply the Chiddush itself to only insofar as fine. Once they become Edim Zomim, then they're Edim Zomim, not to go and make it retroactive. Or the other possibility is we said, Bishum Pseid de L'chuchas, because we don't want people are going to have used these Edim for other things, for example, for buying fields and writing a shtar on them, and then it's going to turn out that the aid was false, and now they're going to lose out. So the Gemara says, Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, let's look at our Mishnah and see which opinion. So we ended up saying the halacha is like a baya, but this is one of the six cases where the halacha is like a baya, but now we're going to analyze this point further and see whether we can actually bring proofs one way or the other to them, so or against them. So the Gemara of Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Ganav Apishnayim, you had a person stole, and there were two Edim that he had stolen, the Tavach HaMachar Apihem, and the same Edim also said they shechted or stole the animal, the Nimtzu Zomimin, and it turned out that these Edim are Edim Zomimin, Meshamer is Hakol, so we said now they have to pay for everything, they have to pay the entire Tashlumei Avah v'Chamisha, because they were trying to deprive him of Chamisha, they were trying to deprive him of five times the value of the, they were trying to deprive him of five times the value of the animal, four times of the sheep, of course, and therefore, so like any other case, of Edim Zomim, Kasher Zomim, Vasi, Kasher Zomim, so therefore we're mechayev them to pay for the entire thing. Now the Gemara says, "My love, she'idu ala gneva b'chazru v'he'idu ala tvicha." Shouldn't we assume that we're talking about where first they said Eidos that he had stolen, later on they said Eidos, who based in, have listened to their testimony that the guy had stolen, then they said, "Oh, and also the next day he shechted or stole the animal," and then. So now, let's say they were found to be Edim Zomim on the Gneva, and then they were found to be Edim Zomim on the Tvicha as well, on the Shechting as well. So if we assume, I mean, after all, the Mishnah hadn't specified what order they were found Zomim in and what order they had testified, so we have to assume across the board that we're talking about no matter what the situation is, even a case like that. Now, if you're going to tell me that the Edim, like Abaye says, are Posel Mafreya, from when they first gave the Eidos, even though we didn't yet discover at the time that they were Edim Zomim, but now we find out that in fact all of their Eidos was Muzam. So therefore we should say that they're the Mafreyahu Nifsel. Well then Hani, so let's consider it. So these people, given to Itzdumola Huag Neva, once they were declared Zomimin on the grounds of on the Gneva, that they were found, it was found that they had said he stole and other Edom came and said he monohisim, Iglaim Milsal Mafreya. So now it comes out, we find out retroactively, to Ki Ashadu Atvicha, that when they testified about the shechting, psul and havu. At that point, they were puzzled. Amai masham and atvicha. So why are they paying the extra three times for the tvicha when they weren't kosher edim? And the whole concept of edim zomim requires that they're kosher edim, or at least as far as we knew until then, they were kosher edim. And now we find out that somebody is coming, that people are coming and being mazim them like this. According to Abaye, that mafreya hu nifso. The point is that now it turns out that once we find once we were mazim them on the Gneva, then we say retroactively, it turns out when they testified about the Tvicha, there was nothing new because they weren't valid Edim at that point, as it turns out now. So therefore, they should only have to pay the Tashlumei Kefil. Why are they having to pay the extra amount?
In fact, Tosfos says the Gemara could have asked the question really on Rava as well. Even if you say Mikanlo Habon Lo Nifsal, don't you have Mikanlo Habahu Nifsal? Don't you have the issue? Don't you have the issue anyway? That as we learned previously, Imen Gneva in Tvicha Vein Mechira. If there's no Eidos on the Gneva, then the Eidos on the Tvicha Mechira is meaningless, because then it could just as well be that he shechted his own animal or sold his own animal. So even according to Rava, once you mazin them on the Gneva, then shouldn't that be enough that now anyway they're not chayev for anything other than the kefil for the Gneva. And Tosfos says fine, because you could say, as we're going to talk about later on the base, you have a concept called hakhosha tchilas hazamehi, that when other edim come and contradict them, that can already be considered to be the beginning of the process of hazama. So we would say that we were mazim them on the Gneva. We haven't yet contradicted them about the Tvicha. Nevertheless, we would still say that the Tvicha is still open over there, because we're going to have to see what happens with that. We can't just throw out the Eidos on the Tvicha yet until we figure out what we're going to do with them for having lied about the Eidos about the Gneva. So according to Rava, it's not such a problem. So fine, we're going to say that from then on, from when we declared them Eidim Zemim, at that point they're possible Eidos in the future, but now we were mazim them only on one part, and we have to yet see what happens, whether we can be mazim them on the second part yet. But the question is, on Abaya, who said that it turns out that retroactively they were puzzle, so then in that case, then how are they ever hired for the payment for the extra, for the extra amount, for the extra tashlum, for the tashlum al-ba'al-ba-chamisha. So the Gemara answer is Hoch Maya Skinnin, Gunsha, who's more left to Vichatrila. Okay, necessarily, according to Abaya, you would have to answer that first they were Muslim on the shechting. So first other Adam came and said, when you said that you said that he shechted it on such a date, but at that time Imanu Hayisim, you were with us elsewhere. So now at this point, as far as we know, we still have valid Eidos as far as the Gneva. Later on, it turns out there were Eidim Zimmin on the Gneva as well. So now, at that point, they're Eidim Zimmin on the entire thing. Therefore, they're Chayev for the entire thing. It's true. According to Abaya, if they had been Mazim them first on the Gneva, then we might well say they wouldn't be Chayev for the extra payments for the Tvicho Mechira, because it turns out, retroactively, there was no Eidos on the Gneva at all. But here we're talking about that there was, in fact, at the time when we were mazim them on the shechting, on the tvicho mechira, there was still eidos on the gneva, and only later do we discover that eidos is no good. So therefore Abaya would say we could be mechayim. So the Gemara says Amri, but they ask, what do you mean? So if he had mitzvah mi agneva, fine. But after all, when we end up being mazim them on the gneva, so it comes out now retroactively. Now we realize that when they had testified about the shechting of the animal, it turns out they were apostle. Because again, according to Abaya, they're apostle retroactively. So you still have the question, why are they paying for the tvicha? And the answer is, the Gemara says v'hilchasa, so you have to say, the answer would be, now v'hilchasa usually means the halacha is, sometimes the Gemara uses the expression v'hilchasa to mean the answer is, especially when the answer is according to the actual halacha, since as we said, the halacha is like a baya in this case, of Eid Zoyman l'mafreya honif, so then therefore the Gemara introduces the answer, what would be the case of the Mishnah, what would be the scenario of the Mishnah, which according to, which would fit with what Abaya is saying, would be, where they said the Eidos on the stealing and on the Tvicha, or Bavasachas, meaning Toch Kedei Dibur, as we're going to talk about now in the rest of the Sugya. We're going to talk about the whole matter of Eidos Toch Kedei Dibur. So now they said the Toch Kedei Dibur. They said Yankel stole this animal and he shechted it, or Toch Kedei Dibur. And therefore, so now when we Behuzmu, and then we find that they're Eidim Zemim. So therefore, so now, since they were made b'vasachas, you can't say at the time of the Eidos on the Tvicha they were posel, because Rashi explains, even if we say, like Abaye, l'mafreyahu nifsel, it was tzeich kedei dibur, and as far as, so therefore, if we consider them valid edim by the first part of the statement, then we consider them still valid edim by the second part, because it was all tzeich kedei dibur, and therefore we can follow the usual rules of asisim loitashas on them. Now Rashi brings that Rashi had a Gersa in front of him that said that it was also that they were mazim them all at once. And Rashi rejects that Gersa because he says as far as Hazama, it doesn't matter whether they were mazim them all at once or one after the other. Even if they were mazim them, so you had two other Edom came and said, Imanu Hayisim at the time when you claim he stole it. And two other Edom came and said, Imanu Hayisim at the time when you claim he shechted it. It wouldn't matter whether it was that or whether two other Edom came and said, during that whole period of time when you said he stole it and shechted it, during that entire period of time you were elsewhere with us, it wouldn't matter, Rashi says. Either way, we would still say, since the original Eidos was Vasachas, so we don't consider it two separate statements of Eidos, we consider it one big statement, and therefore we can still say, even according to Abaye, the Mafreyahu Nifsel, there's no true Eidosin that we can say one of them is kosher, and one of them, it turns out, retroactively was not an Eidos. Rather, we say the whole thing was a valid Eidos, and now that we found that was Edom Zomim, then we're going to apply the penalties of Edom Zomim to them. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos discusses that maybe it's not so, and they have some questions on Rashi, and they discuss that the Gemara had started with the assumption that again we talked just a minute ago about the matter of Hakosha Tchivas Hazama. Suppose Hakosha Tchivas Hazama means like this. Suppose that Reuven and Shimon come and testify to something in Beis Din. Now, as we talked about yesterday, you have a Chosha, which is, for example, that Levi and Yehuda come and say, it can't be true because, for example, you're saying Yankel was Machal Shabbos and Yankel was with us someplace else. Or no, or we were watching Yankel at the same time you said and he was not Machal Shabbos, or whatever it is. That would be called a Chosha. That's not Hazam. We don't punish the first set of Edim. We say the two sets of Edim cancel each other out. Hazama, we said, is when they say Imanu Hayisim. Now, what happens to a second set of Eidos comes and says, first of all, it can't be that Yankel was Mechalel Shabbos because he was with us someplace else. And second of all, it can't be, even if that weren't so, you can't testify to it because you were with us someplace else. So now, do we say once the Hakosha was done, once they contradicted the first set Eidos by saying Yankel wasn't there at the time, does that mean we throw out the Eidos right away? Or do we say that no, actually we have to wait and see if they're able to be Mazim as well, and then we're still going to apply Hazam? So Torah just discusses that right now the Gemara is starting with the understanding that Hakosha Tchivas Hazamahi, and therefore would it make a difference then what order these Edim's statements were contradicted in, and now we're saying that it doesn't really necessarily matter that as long as they said the two Edison together at the same time, then it doesn't matter what happened with the Hazama. And Tosfos says that it's a style of the Gemara. The Gemara is not dealing with other side questions that you can have on this. The Gemara is sticking with the actual question that we asked in terms of that you're thinking Hakosha Tchilas Hazamahi, and you're thinking therefore that how can you make it that you're going to have two Edison, that you're going to have two testimonies where one is going to be kosher, and then on the face of it, if one is Abayev, the other one is posel. Well, how can you be mechayev him for the second one when it wasn't even Eidos? And the answer is that they gave the Eidos b'vasachas, and that thing. So then afterwards, the Hazama, it doesn't really matter for our purpose of whether Hazama happened at once or whether it happened or whether it was one after the other. Okay. So no contradiction from our Mishnah on Abayev. The Gemara says, Lema Katanoi. Should we have to say that this machloikas Abaye and Rava about the Edom Zomim is actually a machloikas Tanoim? Because a Braisa says, Boyu Shnaim Me'idin Oise Shagonav. Suppose that two people say on a person Eidos that he stole, the Hein Me'idin Oise Shatovach. the same two agents say that he also shechted the animal, but who's more like Gneva? And then we found that there was Zoymen about the Gneva. That turns out that they were elsewhere at the time. Other agents came and say they were elsewhere when they claimed that he had done the stealing. Then we say the rule, Adis Shabbatla Mikhtasa, Batla Kula. Then we would say that an Adis, where part of it is bottle, the whole thing is bottle. Meaning, like we said before, once there's no Adis on the Gneva, then the fact that they said Adis, that he shechted it, is meaningless, because it could just as well be his own animal. So therefore, so they're only going to pay, as Adim Zim, and they're only going to pay Kefal, because that's all they were trying to deprive him of. Not that's all. They were trying to deprive him of the whole five times, but since we're saying that once they were mazim them on the Gneva, then the rest of the testimony doesn't mean anything, then therefore we can only be mechayev them kefal. What about who's mu'ala tvicha? What about, continues the braisa, what about if they were muzam only on the shechting of the animal? So now, in other words, so that on the face of it, so their eidos that he stole the animal still is upheld, and it's only now we have it when they were refuted about the tvicha, that turns out that we find out imonu hayisim, they were elsewhere at the time they claimed he shechted the animal. So then who mashalim tashlumi kefal? So the ganav himself is going to be kefal because they have this valid Adris that he stole. The Hain Meshaman Tashlum Ishloisha, and they, the Adim, who are now Adim Zemmin, are going to have to pay three times because that's what they were trying to deprive him of. Amr Rav Yossi, but Rav Yossi continues, Bamed Varam Amurim, when would that apply? Bishte Adis, only when you have two testimonies, and we're going to explain now in the Gemara what we mean by two testimonies. Abel, but Adris Achas, but when we have one testimony, Then Rabbi Yossi says, then yes, we would say that an Adris that's partially bottle is completely bottle, meaning, in other words, again, that there's nothing to talk about the Tavicha or Mechira unless we have Adris that he stole. So we have to first figure out, before we can say that this machlokas of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim has to do with the machlokas of Abaye and Rava, so we have to clarify the situation. First of all, my b'shtei Adris, so my b'Adris Achas. What does that expression mean? Two testimonies and one testimony. What does that mean? Ilema b'shtei adias means b'shtei adias mamish, means b'shtei kitos. So in other words, are you going to say b'shtei adias, Rav Yossi is talking about when you had two sets of adim, one set came and said that he stole, and the other set came and said that he shechted. And the Eidros Achas would mean the Vasachas, the Zeachazer, and then the Eidros Achas would mean it's the same set of Edim, and they're saying the Zeachazer. First they testify on Sunday that he stole the animal, and then they come back on Monday and testify that he shechted the animal. Well, you're gonna say, Ki Masadi Agneva. So now, when they give Eidros about the Gneva, Vahodim Masadi Atvicha, and then they're giving Eidros about the Tvicha, then we can say kimitzimi at tvicha. So then we might say that when we find them to be edim zomim on the tvicha, we would say edus shabotam ktsasa botlekola the itzimul huagneva. Then, in other words, we say that the edus on the gneva has also been cancelled out, because once we find them to be edim zomim on the tvicha, then it's when we say like abaya that masreyahu nifsel, it turns out that there was no valid edus. On the Gneva in the first place, because the Gemara is using the word itzimu, which usually means they were muzam, but here we don't mean that. Here we just mean, Rashi explains, it means just that Adris is bottle. There's no Adris to talk about, because once we find that they were Adim Zimmerman on the Tvicha, it turns out that they were according to Abaya, that they were never valid Adim in the first place. So therefore, their Adris about the Gneva there's no Adris, because you need valid Adim to give Adris, and they didn't do it, So then the question is, though, Mehechi Tesi Hach. But where is Rabbi Yossi getting that from? Why should we say, because we were mevatel, the Adris of the Tvicha or Mechira, therefore automatically that should be mevatel, the Adris and the Gneva? Why? Just because, on the face of it, just because we were mazim them, so what is Rabbi Yossi saying? B'shtei Adris, he's saying that we break things up. But when it was the Adris Achas, Adris Shabbatim, Atzos, Abot, Lakula, well, why indeed is Rabbi Yossi saying that? Why would he say that if we canceled out the Adris on the Tvicha, then automatically that cancels out the Adris on the Gneva? The other way around, we can understand, because if we cancel out the Eidos on the Gneva, then the Tvicha or Mechira is meaningless. But if we canceled out the Eidos on the Tvicha, the fact is we have Eidos from them that he stole. Why should we not apply Vasis and Loikasha Zaman and make them have to pay for that? El Alav. Obviously, rather, we have to understand Rav Yossi to be saying, B'shtei Eidos means B'eidos Achas Ke'en Shtei Eidos. What does Rav Yossi mean? When he says two Eidos, he means one Eidos, which is like two Eidos, U'mayniu V'asachas V'zachazet. So in other words, so they come, and so they come and they say Eidos, V'asachas, one after the other. So they come on Tuesday, and they say on Sunday he stole it, and on Monday he shafted it. So what they're saying is Vasachas, but they're speaking about two different events that happen at two different times. And then the Eidosachas would mean Vasachas, the Eidosachas would mean that would mean where it's all one Eidos, where they say together that he stole and he shechted. So then the difference would be so that would be Vasachas. So we would say, but if it was all one Eidos and it was all Vasachas, then we would not say that. We would not say that he pays kafel. So the difference would be, in other words, Rabbi Yossi would be drawing a distinction. When they testify that he stole on one day and shechted it on another day, then we mazim them on the tvicha. You still have the Eidos on the gneva. So he's still chayav to pay for the kafel. But if they give one Eidos, meaning all at once they come and say that he shechted and stole, and then we find that their Eidos are in, then he's not paying anything because now we've canceled out their whole Eidos. So now if we understand Rabbi Yossi that way, then let's consider further. So it comes out Rabbi Yossi is saying, in other words, that just because we passed one part of their Eidos is not necessarily a reason to pass all the rest of it. Only when they did Eidos Achas V'Vasachas, they said he stole and shechted the animal all one after the other. And Savruha. Furthermore, the Bnei HaYeshiva who brought up this question that isn't this Machloikas Abaye and Rabba, the same as the Machloikas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi, they thought to say, that everybody would agree that when you have two things take place, the Toch Kedei Dibur, then it's considered as though Kedibur Dami, it's considered as one long statement. Which has implications in many cases in halacha. So do we in fact hold that way? So if they say that Yankel stole the animal and shechted it, and they said that all b'tel k'dei dibur, we would consider it one long statement. Well, then in that case, and yet the Chachamim are not making a distinction. They're saying always Eidos Shabbatah Maktasa Batlah Kula, whether it was one statement or two. And Rabbi Yossi is drawing a distinction whether it was one statement or two. Well, that being the case. So Maila Abahokar Miflagi. Wouldn't that mean then that the Machloikas between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim is as follows? The Rabbanan Savri Mikanola Abahum Nifsal. The Chachamim are going to hold these posel only from now on. Therefore, the kivin demagi shaita komitzimi, so only from when they become posel, and not lamafreya, like Rava says, then therefore atvicha hu dekomitzimi utzum, so therefore they were only declared zomimin only about the tvicha, agneva deloy mitzimi loy itzum, as far as the gneva, where they were not declared to be edim zomimin about the gneva itself, so that edus has not been cancelled out. So therefore we would make him chayev still for the actual gneva itself. It's true, Rashi points out, they did say it together, but nevertheless, their psul only began, according to Rava, their psul doesn't begin from then, that their whole edus was muzam. So when they say the Eidos, then they're possible Eidos. Then at that point, we can hold them responsible for the fact that they were Eidim Zomim and punish them. But we're not going to say that we cancel out the whole Eidos because the Tanakama, the Chachamim, would hold like Rava that says that they're not possible Mafreya, they're only possible Mikano Laba. Now, so Mephoshim point out there is a distinction you can draw between whether the when we say that we cancel out the edus of the tvicha, that means only as far as things that apply from then on. But as far as the edus itself, we're not going to say in this case edus shabat the mktasa bat lachula. The result is we still have an edus on the geneva, and therefore we're going to be mechayev and kefal for that, and we're mechayev them the three times only for the rest of it. So that would be because after all the hotur kedibur kedibur drami. Because after all. I skipped a couple of lines. So that's the point of the Chachamim. We would say only whatever we were mazim them on is what's possible, and therefore that's what they have to pay for. Whatever we weren't mazim them on, they're not possible. So we still have a valid Eidos and Geneva. Therefore, he has to pay kefal for that. Rav Yossi Sova, Lamafreyahu Nifso. Rav Yossi is going to hold like a buyer who says that they're possible retroactively. But given to me, Yad Ki Ashidu, so since as soon as they give Eidos, it turns out retroactively that they were possible, because now we find they were Eidim Zomim, and it turns out that their whole testimony to begin with was a lie. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi is going to say, when they were declared Eidim Zomim about the Shechting, then they're also Muzam as far as the Gneva. So now their Eidos about the Gneva is also possible. And then, again, we're using the word itzum in a looser sense to mean that their Eidos on the Gneva is possible. So in other words, there's no valid Eidos there at all. And then because after all, we're going to say that both Rabbi Yossi and Chacham agree that Torkele Dibur is considered Kedibur Dami. So Rabbi Yossi would say, it's true, it's considered one long statement, but because it's considered one long statement, then as soon as we're mazim them on one, automatically the other one goes with it, and therefore that would be like a bayah that says, l'mafreyahu nifsal. So it would come out, the Chachamim hold like Rava, and a bayah would hold like, and Rabbi Yossi would hold like a bayah, or a bayah would hold like Rabbi Yossi. So is that in fact the case? And as usual, we have the question in that case, then why are the Amoraim giving the same machlokas? Why don't they just say, Rava says I hold like the Chachamim, and Abaya says I hold like Rabbi Yossi? So the answer is, the Gemara answers no. Amri, they answer back, E Torch Kedibur Kedibur Drami, yes, if you're going to say that Torch Kedibur is Kedibur Drami, we do consider it as though it was all considered one long statement, one long Eidos, then you're right, to call it Amol HaMafreyahu Nifsal. Actually, no. Then we would say everybody agrees with Abaya that they are possible Mafreya, and as soon as we're mazim them on the tvicha, on the shechting, then everything is gone, and therefore we say that, there's no edus on the gneva in the first place, and therefore the chachamim are going to say edus shabot mitzasa bot lakula, and therefore we can't be mechayev them anything, because even though they were edim zemimin, the fact is it doesn't turn out retroactively that there was any valid edus to begin with that he stole, because we found that they were false edim at that time, and therefore their edus is not an edus. So rather, Elohacha, the Torah Kedibur, Kedibur Dami, Kamifagi. The machloikas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi can be precisely about that point. When two things happen, Torah Kedibur, is it considered all the same Dibur? Is it considered all the same statement? Or not? So, do the Rabbanan Savri Torah Kedibur, Lav Kedibur Dami? The Chachamim are going to hold that Torah Kedibur is not considered Kedibur. So therefore, even though they said all Torah Kedibur, Yankel stole this animal and shechted it, nevertheless, we're going to break it up into two separate Eidosin, and therefore we're going to say that, yes, we were mevatel the Eidos of the Tvicha, because we found them to be Eidim Zemin. That doesn't cancel out, the original Eidos on the Gneva, and therefore we can still be, Mechayev then. The Ganav is still going to be Chayev Kefal, because when we find there was Zimmerman on the second one, then nevertheless, we still have a valid Eidos on the first one, on the fact that he stole, and therefore we're going to be Mechayev him. Rabbi Yossi Sava, Torah Kedibur, Kedibur Dami, Rabbi Yossi is going to hold, because after all, even Abaya, who says Lamafreya Hu Nifsal, is only talking about Lamafreya back to when they said the Eidos, that became Muzam. So now, like this, they said he stole, and nobody came to be Mazim on that. Now they say he shechted, and somebody came to be Mazim that. When we say Lamafreya Hu Nifsal, we don't mean that any Eidos throughout his life that he ever said is possible. We mean back to when he said this Eidos, that now we found was Muzam. So now, even according to Abaye, then, that we're going to say, we're only so all we can be mazim then, since Rav Yossi is going to hold that, since the Chachamim, rather, are going to hold that Tosh Kedibur, Lav Kedibur Dami, they're going to say, the fact is, we have two different testimonies over here. Number one, that Yankel stole, and number two, that Yankel shechted the animal. So fine, we're mazim them on the Shechita. That passels their edus as far as the shechita and makes that from that point and on they're considered edim zomim, like Abaye says, and therefore they're reshoyim and psulim edus, like Abaye says, l'mafreya. Nevertheless, though, that doesn't go any further back than when they said he shechted it. We never brought edim zomim that said that he didn't steal it. Therefore, we still have to hold him responsible for the stealing. As far as that, we still consider they were kosher edim. Rav Yossi Sava Tosh Kedibur Kedibur Dami. Meanwhile, Rav Yossi is going to hold Tosh Kedibur is considered Kedibur, so it is considered one long statement. So therefore, when we're mazin them on the Tzvicha, then automatically the Gneva goes with it. Therefore, Rav Yossi is going to say that in that case we can't be Machayev him anything because there's no Eidos against him at all. Well, the Gemara asks the Sava Rav Yossi Tosh Kedibur Kedibur Dami. So you're telling me then that Rav Yossi holds that two things that happen Tosh Kedibur are considered like one long statement. V'hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Tmura that seems to say differently. Where we have in Masechta Tmura, you have the whole concept of Tmura. A person wants to exchange an animal of Kodshim for an animal of Chulin, and the Torah says he's not allowed to do that. And if he does, he gets Malkus, and then V'hoyahu Tmura Siya Kodesh, both animals become Kodesh. So now you have a case where a person says about a chulin animal, harezu tmuras oila tmuras shlomim. So suppose the person has already one animal for an oila, he has one animal for a shlomim, and now he takes a third animal and he says, I want this animal to be a tmura of the oila, a tmura of the shlomim. So which is it? Harezu tmuras oila divir Reb Meir. Reb Meir says it becomes only a tmura of an oila because Reb Meir says that since you have two statements that contradict one another, therefore, according to Reb Meir, we say tfois loshen rishon, we have to grab on to the first loshen, and therefore, the result is that once he said, harezu tmuras oila, then we have to stop him there, he can't make it a tmura of something else, once it now has the tdusha of an oila, and therefore when he says tmuras shlomim, then it's in effect. That's Reb Meir. Reb Yossi says no. Im lekach niskaven mitchila. If he actually meant to begin with, he wanted it to be a tmura of both of them. Just the fact is, hoyol ve'if shaliquis shnei shemis kachod. The fact is, he's not able to say the word ola and shlomim at the same instant. Necessarily, he has to say one of them first. Then Reb Yossi would say dvarav kayomin. What he said is valid. Because it's not that according to Reb Meir, in other words, in effect, what we say is, he said it's a tmuras oila, and then wanted to change his mind and make it a tmuras shlomim, and that doesn't work, it's already a tmuras oila. Reb Yossi is saying that if he meant this to begin with, then no, we don't say he changed his mind, we said he actually meant for both of them to be chal. So therefore, both of them are chal. Now, of course, you can't bring an animal as a half oila, half shlomim. What you actually have to do, Rashi brings from the Gemara is over there, you have to wait till it develops a mum, then you sell it and use half the money towards an oila and half the money towards a shlomim. Anyway, so that's what Rav Yossi says. Vahavinan ba. Now, so, and then Rav Yossi continues. V'im omot tmuras oila v'nimlach v'omot tmuras shlomim. However, Rav Yossi continues that if he said tmuras oila and then he changed his mind and said tmuras shlomim, then Rav Yossi agrees. Harezu tmuras oila. Then it's only a tmura of an oila because once he said it's a tmura of an oila, it's too late to make it anything else. Vahavinan ba. Now, in the Gemara and Tmura, we have a question on that. Nimlach pshita. Obviously, if he changes his mind, it's poshut that he can't do that. It's already a tmuras oila, and he can't change his mind. Why would Rav Yossi even have to mention that point? Ve'omer apapa. Answer the papa explains. Nimlach v'toch k'de dibur kamrinan. We don't just mean nimlach. Obviously, if he nimlach a day later or an hour later or whatever, of course it's too late. Nimlach means that he changed his mind. V'toch k'de dibur. And Rav Yossi is saying no. Toch k'de dibur. Lav k'dibur dami. When he says a new statement, so he said tmuras oila. And within toch k'de dibur, he changes his mind and wants to say tmuras shlomim. Rav Yossi would say it's too late. So Tosfos points out, now there are cases where we will say that it's valid. We can say as far as explaining what he was going to say, that's valid within Tosh Kedei Dibur, even according to Rav Yossi. But what we're saying is, when he wants to contradict what he said before, then that wouldn't work. So therefore, so we see that Rav Yossi holds that Torah Kedivur is Lav Kedivur Gami. So he holds that even though two things were said in Torah Kedivur, they don't count as one long statement. Otherwise, we would say that if he did that, then the animal is in fact the Tmura of an Ola, half Tmuras Ola, half Tmuras Shlomim. And we don't say that. He's saying that Nimlach, and Akum Rapapa is explaining that Nimlach means he changed his mind with Torah Kedivur, and still it doesn't help, and it's already a Tmuras Ola, and he can't change his mind. So therefore, so we see Rav Yossi holds that even Torah Kedivur, you can't change your mind. So how can we explain before, as far as the case with the Edim of the Tvicha and Mechira, of the Gneva and of the Tvicha and Mechira, that Rav Yossi would count it all as one long Edus because of its Torah Kedivur? So the answer is Amri. So they answered, Tre Torah Kedivur happened. There are two definitions of Torah Kedivur. One is the amount of time that it would take a Talmud to ask after his Rebbe's Shalom, where he doesn't just say Shalom Alecha, he says Shalom Alecha Rabbi Umoy. That's slightly longer. The other one is the amount of time that it would take for the Rav to greet his Talmud. Tosfos, by the way, points out this Gemara in Brachos that implies that a Talmud should not be greeting his Rebbe anyway. So Tosfos answers, that's what it means. In other words, if he just says Shalom Alecha rather than Shalom Alecha Rebbe, then that would be disrespectful. But if he says Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Mordi, then that's fine. That is the respectful way. That is the respectful way to say it. There are, by the way, there are different Gersois among Rishonim whether the word Mordi belongs over here or not. Is Torah Kedivur, and this is relevant all over in many places in Halacha, is Torah Kedivur defined as the time it takes to say the four words Shalom Alecha Rebbe Omeri, or only the three words Shalom Alecha Rebbe? It's Machlokas Rishonim. So the point is, you have that, then you have just the time that it takes to say Shalom Alecha, which is the amount of time that the Rebbe would take to say to his Talmud, because obviously he's not saying Rebbe Omeri. So we would say ki lesle l'Rav Yossi shalom ki lesle l'Rav Yossi when does Rav Yossi not hold that it's all considered one thing? That would be kedei she'ilas tam of the rab shalom alecha Rebbe Yomori denofish, only the longer amount of time, the time it takes for the Talmud to say to his Rebbe shalom alecha Rebbe Yomori, which is a longer amount of time. Rav Yossi says that's too long to keep it all, to consider it all as one long statement. But but to say that two things that are said that are said within the amount of time that it would take to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Shalom Alecha without even Rebbe or Mordi, even Rabbi Yossi would agree that's considered all one statement. And so therefore, so when it comes to Eders, and then we're talking about where they said he shechted, and then within the amount of time, where he stole rather, and within the amount of time that it takes to say Shalom Alecha, they added, and he stole it. So then that would be considered, even according to Rav Yossi, would be considered one long Eidus. And therefore we would say that, again, so now in the case before, we said if now Edom came and were mazim them about the tzvicha, about the shechting, then Rav Yossi would say that means the entire Eidus has been cancelled out, because we would say, l'mafreyahu nipso, like Abaya, so therefore the whole Eidus has been cancelled out, therefore there's nothing to be mechayev, the ganav, and they themselves are going to be the ones who are chayev to pay. As opposed to, if it was the longer amount of time, the time that it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Yomori, Rabbi Yossi would not consider that one statement. And in the case of Tmura, therefore, that's what Rabbi Yossi is talking about. He said Harezu Tmuras Ola, and then within the amount of after the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Alecha, but before the time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Yomori, he said and a Tmura of a Shlomim, Rabbi Yossi would say that we already call that Nimlach. We already call it. He's trying to change his mind, and therefore it doesn't work. It's too late. And it's considered that it's a Tmuras Ola. And in the case of the Edim, it would mean that it would be two separate testimonies. And therefore, if we're mazim them on one, then it doesn't affect the other. And therefore, the Ganav would still have to be paying for the first one. Okay. So we can explain the machlokas of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim that way. They're not arguing on the same point of Eid Zomim, Lamafreya, or Lahabahu Nifsa, like Abaya and Rava, but rather they're arguing on a different point about whether we consider two things, the Torah Kedibur. If it's Kedibur dummy, the Chachamim would say we don't at all. Rabbi Yossi would say we don't when it's the longer Torah Kedibur, but we would when it's the shorter Torah Kedibur, which is the amount of time it would take to say Shalom Alecha. We have, again, there are different other places in Shas where it talks about the idea of Tosh Kedibur, and generally we do consider that Tosh Kedibur is considered Kedibur Dami. It usually is considered all part of the same statement for many purposes in Halacha. The basis behind that, the Halachic theory behind that, why that works, you have different Rishonim talk about. Is it Daraisa? Is it maybe only Dirabonon? Tosfos points out in Baba Basra, for example, or I think the Rashbam points out there that the vote is, Suppose you have a person is buying something in the marketplace, and meanwhile his Rebbe passes by, and it would only be respectful for him to say Shalom Alecha to his Rebbe. So if we don't allow him to give, if we don't allow him to change his mind on what he said, then he's going to have a problem. On the one hand, he's going to have to greet his Rebbe. On the other hand, then he's going to be locked into what he said. Therefore, the Chachamim gave him a break, gave him the amount of time. It says to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori, or Shalom Alecha Rebbe, whatever, and then that's still considered Tosh Kedibur. That's one way of looking at it, and then another way is that it's in fact Daraisa, that the Torah assumes a person a person said something and he still has a certain, a couple of seconds to change his mind before he's irrevocably locked into it. We learned in the Dorim there are certain cases, certain things that a person says that are so serious, where a person to begin with says them with such kovad roish, with such seriousness and gravity, that there's no possibility that he would say it just as something that he hasn't completely made up his mind, and therefore they take effect even Tosh Kedibur. Kedushin was one of them. A man says to a woman, Harayat Mekudeshesli, then even if he says Tosh Kedibur, you're not Mekudeshes to me, it wouldn't matter. If he's Megadif, if he blasphemes Hashem, there's a couple of other things like that where we say that that even Tosh Kedibur, he can't change his mind because these are things of such gravity that we expect the person would have put some thought into them in the first place. But other kinds of things, we say that he has Tosh Kedibur, and again, you have this point of whether, you have this discussion of whether that leeway is Daraisa or Dirabon. Okay. Let's talk more about Hazama. So now, we said that you could have a case, for example, where Edim come and are Makhish other Edim, and you can have a case where they're Mazim other Edim. Again, Chosha being where they say the actual facts that you're saying are wrong, because, for example, we were watching this guy the whole time when you say that he was Machal Shabbos, so did whatever, and in fact he wasn't, or they say he was someplace else with us, or whatever it is, or even they say, for example, you're saying that Yankel killed Kuppel, but he was Kuppel right here. Right here, is walking into Beis Din right now, so obviously Yankel didn't kill him. So whatever, all that kind of thing is called Hakhosha. And then Hazama is, again, where the second set of Edim say, we don't know, maybe Yankel was Machal Shabbos, maybe Yankel killed a couple, maybe whatever, but the fact is that you, Reuven and Shimon, can't be giving Edus on it because Imanu HaYisim Makam Ploini, you were with us elsewhere. So now let's talk about the interplay between those two things. Omar Rabba, Edim shahukhashu ulvasoif huzbu. If you have Edim who first were contradicted by other Edim, and then later on they were muzam by Edim. So Rashi explains, for example, let's say, so you have Reuven and Shimon come to Beis Din and say that there was a murder. Two other Edim come and say there was not, so that the murderer himself was with us, the one that you're claiming was the murderer was with us elsewhere, or we were watching him, or the murder victim himself is right here, etc., etc. And then later on, another group comes and says, Imanu HaYisem, to the first group. So Rava says, Neherogin, the first group is going to be killed on the grounds of Kasha Zoma. Because we're going to say that Hakhosha is only the beginning of the Hazama process, Ela Shalei Nigmar, it just didn't finish. In other words, we don't say, like this we might have thought to say, once Levi and Yehuda come and say, well look, Yankel couldn't possibly have killed Kuppel because Kuppel was right here, alive and well, so on the face of it, we should say, well at that point, okay, we throw out the whole Eidos, we tell everybody, go Gizun to hate, and we're not going to punish anybody, and obviously Reuven and Shimon have been shown to be liars. Now, later on, if other Edom come and say, Reuven and Shimon, Imanu HaYisem, on the face of it, how can we punish them? It turns out their Edos has already been contradicted. Rava says, no, we don't do that. We say the Hakhosha that was done to begin with is like the first stage of the Hazama process. It just hadn't been finished yet. So therefore, we can still consider them Edom Zemen. We can still say that their Edos is considered valid enough that now, if other Edim were to come and nimazim them, then they would be punished as Edim Zem. And Omar Rava Menon Minala, so Rava says, where do I get that from? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. suppose that two Edom come to Beis Din and they say, Mi'idani b'ishpoini, Mi'idani, it's really supposed to be Mi'idanu, we are giving Edus, whatever, on ishpoini, shesima es ein avdoi. He blinded his Eved Kanani, as we learned in Kedushin, as the Pasuk says, in Parashas Mishpatim, when a master blind knocks out the eye or tooth or any of 24 Rosh Evorim of an Eved Kanani, then the Eved goes free. So, in this case, Edom come and say that the owner of this Eved blinded his Eved, the Hippolus Shinoi, and he knocked out his tooth. Now, the result of that would be, the blinding him already makes that the Eved go. So therefore, so the Edom are claiming that he's chayev to free the slave because he knocked out his eye, and he's chayev to pay him the value of the tooth because he knocked out the tooth after the guy has already been hurt. Shaharei harav oimatein, and the master himself is saying the same thing. Now, what do we mean by that? We're going to explain soon in the Gemara what that phrase means. Anyway, v'nimtzu zoymen, it turns out that these Edom are Edom zoymen, m'shamen d'mei ayin la'eved, then they pay the Eved the value of his eye. So, Rava says, we have to figure out, hechi dami, what exactly is the case? Ilei mekid katoni, do we mean the scenario is exactly the way it was, the way we read it on the surface in the Braisa, meaning the leka katachrina, we have to assume there was no previous set of Edom. So what are we saying? What do you mean, Meshalman Dmei Ein La'Eved? What do you mean they pay the Eved the value of the eye? Bosa Demakile V'Cheirus Dmei Ein Kaboy Shalumi? What's going on over here? With their false testimony, they're saying that the master has to free the Eved. So why should they also, if anything, they're going to be paying the master for the fact that they tried to deprive him of his Eved. They're going to be paying the value of the Eved. Why would we be Mechayev them in the value of the eye? What detail about the eye is there that we should make them pay after that rather than the value of the full Eved? In fact, the Mishnah Lamelach points out on the face of it, we have a concept of Edom Zemin that says Kasha Zaman Beloy Kasha Osam, that we can only be Mechayev of them for being Edom Zemin only when they planned to be, only when they planned to get the guy punished, not when they actually caused it to happen. So, for example, we have the concept called Hogru Ein Narogin, that if they caused the person they were testifying against falsely, that he ended up getting killed, then they themselves, we don't execute them as Edom Zemin. The Gemara there in Marcus learns it out from Psukim. The expression Kasha Zaman Maloy Kasha Osa, we don't find, is a very well-known expression. We actually don't find it in the Gemara there. Rashi is the first one who formulates it like that, and from there it became a commonplace expression. Why it is that that's a whole discussion among the Foshim, one idea being that Ramban talks about, because after all, in that case, it turns out Minashamayim, apparently the guy did deserve to be punished, so therefore we can't punish the Edom Zemin. Another way of looking at it is because in that case, the Edom Zemin's crime is so great, because they actually caused the person to get killed, that even being executed as Edom Zemin is not going to be enough kapara for them. Whatever, that's how it is. Xeris HaKosiv Kasha Zaman Beloy Kasha Osa. So there's a Mishnah Lamelach that points out over here on the face of it. Once they said the Edos, that the Eved goes free because the master knocked out his eye, so right away the Eved goes out L'Cheiros, because after all, the Eved is his own owner in effect. In effect, you don't even need to get Shichur or anything. As soon as their Edos is accepted and based in, then automatically the Eved now owns his own body. And then therefore he goes free. So isn't it Kasha Zaman Beloy Kasha Osa? How are we going to punish them as Edom Zem? The Kovetz Shiurim, Rabbi Hanan Wasserman answers that no, if it turns out that they're Edom Zemin, it turns out there was never any Shichur here in the first place, and then it turns out it was a mistake to think that the Eved owns himself, so therefore we can't call that Kasha Osa. Anyway, the point is that Robert is saying, the problem is, the Braise is saying that they have to pay the value of the eye, but why are they paying the value of the eye? They should be paying the value of the Eved as a whole to the master, because they tried to deprive him of his Eved falsely, and therefore Kasha Zaman would require them to pay the value of the Eved. Who are they paying the value of the eye to? Where does that come in? And also, Rava points out, Sha'arei harav oimakein. What do you mean? Because the master is saying this, harav mi michalei, would the master appreciate their edus? What do you mean? They're causing him to lose his Eved. So, el olav, we have to understand that the Braisa is only starting in the middle of the case. The case would be, in this part, the Braisa is not expressing this part, two Edom came to begin with, the Amri They come and testify that the master knocked out the slave's tooth and then blinded his eye. Now, if what they're saying is correct, then it would be then the other way around, then the master would he would have to set the eved free because of the tooth, and now he would have to pay the value of the eye, which is more valuable, because again, the same logic, in other words, that now the eved goes free as soon as the tooth was knocked out, and therefore he's chayev now for the value of the eye, because again, you have that they're testifying that now when the eved was a ben chod, and then the master, and the former master, knocked out his eye, and therefore he'd have to pay the value of the eye. But also Beitre Mitzioi. Now you have another two set, another set of Edom came. Mitzioi means the middle one. We're calling them the middle ones in the sense that they're the middle because altogether, Rava is going to explain, the scenario of the Braisa involves three sets of Edom. There was one set that the Braisa did not tell us that they came b'chlal. We have to infer it from the context. We have a second set, and then we have a third set that declares the second set Zayin. The middle set of Edom come and say, V'amri, and they say it was the other way around. Enoi, V'hodor Shinoi, first the master knocked out his eye, then he knocked out his tooth. Now, if that was true, then it would be like we said originally. It would be that he'd go free because of the eye, and he'd pay him the value of the tooth. So when the Braisa starts, Me'idani, or Me'idanu, Be'ish Ploini, that he knocked out his slave's tooth, that he's knocked out his slave's eye and his tooth, that would be the Braisa is starting in the middle of the story. The Braisa is not telling us that there was a previous set of Edom that said the opposite because Rabbi is saying you can infer that from the context. You don't need to be told that explicitly. So now again, now if they're correct, if that second set of Edom is correct, it would turn out that the master only has to pay the value of a tooth, which is a lot less than the value of an eye. Now, what happens is, what we have over here is a case of hakosha. It comes out, the second set are not being mazim the first set. They didn't say imono ha'isim. They said, maybe you were there, maybe you weren't, we don't know, whatever. But the fact is that it did happen, like you said, there was an eye and a tooth involved, but you've got it backwards. It wasn't first the tooth, then the eye. It was first the eye, then the tooth. That's hakosha. And then, that explains the expression in the Braisa that the master says like that, meaning the master prefers, he would like if based in fine the second set of Edom to be correct, because after all, according to the first set, he's already either way he has to let the Eved free. But according to the first set, that the first came the truth, then come the eye, it comes out that he has to pay a very expensive damage of an eye, as opposed to, according to the second set, he gets away with only paying a much lesser damage of a tooth. So given that he's going to be losing the eved one way or the other, he would prefer that the second set turns out to be the valid aid. Then we have the Nimsu Zomin Mitzioi. Now it turns out that a third set of Edom comes and declares the second set Zomin. So now we understand what the Braisa means, that they pay the value of the eye. Who are they paying it to the Eved? Because they were saying that the master owes him only the value of a tooth. Now it comes out that instead, really he owes him the value of an eye, like the first Edom said. So to be exact, he's not actually paying the full value of an eye in that case. He's paying the difference between the value of an eye and the value of a tooth. So say the eye is going to be $100 and the tooth is going to be $10, they're going to be paying $90. Whatever. The point is, there you have an example where there was hakosha and then there was hazama, and Rava says, therefore, shmamina hakosha tchilas hazama. So there you go, says Rava. You can see that hakosha is considered the beginning of hazama. Because after all, otherwise we would say that the first two sets of Edom cancel each other out. I think I skipped out a line over there. The first set contradict the second set. So like this again, you had a first set that came and said, first he knocked out his tooth, then he knocked out his eye. Now a second set comes and says the other way around. And now the Kamakashale Kamoy Lemsioi, it the first Adim are contradicting the second Adim. Actually, it doesn't even matter really what they say, whether they're saying no, what you're saying is not true. Either way, the point is we have a kosher, we have a contradiction between two sets of Adim. We can't decide between them, because again, so far there's no Hazama. Nobody said Imanu Hayisem. All it is the first set, said truth then I. The second one said I then truth. So there's hakosha between the first and the second one. Nevertheless, we still say that when we're mazim the second set, they have to pay the value of the I, or rather the difference between an I and a tooth. So you see, we say hakosha tchilas hazamahi, because if we didn't say that, Ron Rava says, then what we would have to say is as soon as we makdish the second set, then that's it. We throw out the whole case. There's no edus here at all, and then how can we consider them edim zomin? The fact that we say we consider them edim zomin and they have to pay the value of the I shows that that even though there was a kosha, nevertheless there can still be hazama, which is called makosha tchilas hazami. So that's how Rava is going to explain that yes, you see from that hakosha tchilas hazami. On the other hand, Omer Abaya loy, Abaya on the other hand disagrees and said no, and says no, it's not so. You could say, in fact, that when there's hakosha, then that's it. They can never become zomin again, because at that point their edus has been contradicted. Rather, we can say da'aprinu va'azminu. What could happen is that you don't have to say that there were three sets of Adim. You don't have to say, like you're saying, Rava, that it means the Braisa is starting in the middle of the story with the second set and didn't tell us anything about the first set. What it rather was is da'aprinu va'azminu. The second set of Adim they're flipping around what the first set said, and in addition, they're also being mazim. So in other words, the first set comes and says, he knocked out his eye and then his tooth, which if that's true would mean the slave goes free because of the eye, and he has to pay him the value of the tooth. But now we're talking about a second set of Adim came and said two things. First of all, as far as the actual thing that happened, it was the other way around. They're saying that the second set says that first of all, Imanu Hayisem. So you can't be testifying about this at all. You're Adim Zayman. Now it is true that this master did knock out the eye and the tooth on a different day, which we're going to testify about. However, it was the other way around. It was the other way around. He knocked out the tooth and then the eye. So again, then therefore, so now that we found the first set to be Adim Zomin, so now we can say that they have to pay the value of the eye, because that's what they were trying to deprive the Eved of, because they were saying the other way around that he would go free because of the eye and only get the value of his tooth. And again, the Braisa can still say, Shaharei HaRav Oymekain, the master would have preferred it like that. He would have preferred that he only has to pay the value of a tooth, and now it turns out they're Adim Zomin, and therefore they're paying the value of an eye. So Abaya is saying, not like you, Rava, are saying, where first one set of Adim was Maktish them, and then another set is Mazim them. In fact, then we would say there's no such thing as Azama, because already the first Adim contradicted them, and that's that. What we're saying over here is that the second set of Adim flipped around the case and were Mazim them. So therefore, obviously we accept the second set, because that's how Hazama works. And in addition, since they are after all testifying that one way or the other, this Eved is going to go free, because they are agreeing that the master did knock out something of his, they're just saying it was the truth first and only later the eye, then therefore it comes out that the Edim Zomin are going to be chayav to pay the value of the eye, which they were trying to deny. Rashi points out later on in the sugya, Abaya is going to explain, we'll learn this tomorrow, Bez Hashem, that we have to be talking about Sha'omad Badin. We do have to be talking about that they already went to a Din Torah and the Dayanim told him to pay, because otherwise you'd have to pay the full value of an Eved, because after all, they're trying to say that the Eved as a whole went free. So we'll get to that point tomorrow, Bez Hashem. So that's all the points of Rashi. Tosfos discusses at some length over here and explains that Abaya also understands that we're talking about three sets of Adim, so he's not disagreeing with Rava, the Braisa is starting in the middle of the story, but rather, he means, in other words, that what it means is the second set was mazim the first set and testified the opposite, and then the third set was mazim the second set, And now you have a case in now you have cases like that in Masechta Makkos where it talks about you can have Reuben and Shimon come to testify about something, Levi and Yehuda come and say to Reuben and Shimon, Imanu Hayisim, and then Yisachar and Zvulun come and say to Levi and Yehuda, no, you were Imanu Hayisim, and the result is that Levi and the result is that Reuben and Shimon are exonerated because they're not Edom Zomim anymore, and Levi and Yehuda are the ones in trouble. So Tosfos explains that here we have Abayez explaining the same kind of thing that we mean the second, unlike in Rava's case. The second set and the first set are only contradicting each other. There's no hazama yet. Only when we come to the third set is there hazama of the second set. Abaya, according to Tosfos, according to the Ri in Tosfos, is learning the second set on Mazim, the first set, and then the third set on Mazim, the second set, which we uphold what the first set said. So now there's no hakhasha because to begin with we're only talking about hazama, and therefore again we're saying that the second set is going to have to pay the value of the eye, but that doesn't show anything Abai would say about hakhasha tchilas hazama because there's no hakhasha involved over here. So again, we're gonna continue learning. We're gonna continue learning this tomorrow. That's the Shem, and we'll talk about that. You have two cases in this Braise. You have a Reisha and you have a Sefer, which we'll learn the Sefer tomorrow, and we're going to end up saying that Rava learns his din about Choshev Tchilas Hazama from a different part of the Braise, which we'll quote tomorrow, and then therefore, so it would come out, in that case, Abaya and Rava don't necessarily have to learn this Reisha any different, and it would mean, therefore, when the Gemara says that Abaya said such and such, doesn't necessarily mean that Abaya actually said that, means the Chachmei HaYeshiva, when they were discussing what would Abaya say if Rava's proof was from the Reisha, he would say such and such. As we often find in the Gemara, that when it says that somebody said such and such, doesn't actually mean that he said that, but if we took a tape recorder, we would actually have ever caught him saying that, rather that we can infer that this is what he would have said if this discussion had taken place based on his known shita. And we'll continue discussing that point and the whole discussion between Abaya and Rava about this whole matter about Kosha and Azama. We'll continue discussing it tomorrow. That's the shame.